May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Please be seated. Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? Such a loaded question. Jesus is being accused of a lot here, of ignoring scripture and Jewish tradition, of violating laws about purity, and of literally not washing his hands before meals, a complaint that any parent can relate to. But more seriously, purity is such a tricky concept in religion. What does it mean to live a pure and holy life? I once had a conversation with a friend who attended another denomination. He was explaining his own personal theology to me, and he said, because humans have sinned, they're impure. God can only accept pure things in heaven. No impurity can come near God. So Jesus had to come to cleanse us of our sins so we can be pure and get into heaven. Honestly, I didn't know how to react to that. So many assumptions and metaphors in that statement that just did not fit with my own understanding of God or Jesus or heaven at all. However, that idea of washing away sin was actually not what the Pharisees were talking about in this encounter with Jesus. They were trying to infuse spirituality into everyday life. The Torah said the priests should always ritually wash their hands before making the offering at the temple. So the Pharisees said, you know, we should really all think of ourselves as priests, as ministers. Everything we do is like an offering to God. Let's make every day holy by stopping to remember God's blessing before eating our daily meal. And this ritual of hand washing will help us do that. They wanted everyday acts, to like eating, to be done mindfully and with thanksgiving to God. But Jesus reacts pretty strongly to what they say. He calls them hypocrites. And maybe that's a little confusing if you read the story as it's laid out on our lectionary sheet, because it actually skips a bunch of verses, as you can see. If you look at how many the verses that are included, it skips around quite a bit. Jesus is seriously annoyed with them for this criticism. One reason might be because they're criticizing his friends who have literally given up everything, their families, their jobs, their future, to serve God and spread the message of God's good news. To call them insufficiently religious or not really committed to God, kind of rude. You can imagine Jesus thinking, you guys sit at home and do your mindfulness activities and criticize us who are out here trying to heal the sick and feed the poor in God's name. Who is really upholding our religious traditions? But he goes on. Here are the verses that we skip. You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and whoever speaks evil of father or mother must surely die. But you say that if anyone tells father or mother, what support you might have had from me is korban, that is, an offering to God, then you no longer permit doing anything for a father or mother, thus making void the word of God through your tradition that you have handed on. And you do many things like this. In other words, he's talking about a custom that became kind of a loophole in the law that says if you donate to the temple, money given to the temple was called a korban offering, you can say, this is in honor of my parents, and then you don't actually have to take care of your aging parents. Just ignore them. I already gave at the office. In other words, he's calling them hypocrites. Well, not other words, he literally calls them hypocrites. Hypocrites is a word for people that people use for churchgoers a lot. Many of the people out there think that we in here are hypocrites, that we preach one thing and do another. And certainly we're not perfect. We try and sometimes fall short. But I think being a hypocrite is something more than just trying and failing. Do you know the root word comes from acting? It literally means acting out a theatrical role, playing a part. Jesus is saying that these particular Pharisees are just playing a part, putting on a facade for show. The danger, the trap of living is in living our lives as if the most important thing is what others see of us rather than what we really are. Religious hypocrisy is the worst kind because it can lead us to think to not only fool others, but also to fool ourselves, thinking that the rituals we do are actually more important than the ethical choices that we make. Some theologians suggest that the sense of being internally inconsistent, unintegrated, at odds with oneself, is one definition of sin. If so, then sin is hardly something God is allergic to or can't tolerate the presence of, as my friend suggested. Rather, sin is something that is healed in God's presence, since God is the source of all integration and wholeness. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, purity is something different than what you think it is. I love Kierkegaard's definition. Purity of heart is to will one thing. Do you notice that Jesus uses the word heart several times here? He's not worried about what the body does, but about what comes out of the human heart. Purity of heart is to will one thing. That one thing for Kierkegaard is the good, or we might say God. To make a choice for God, to choose the good, to choose life, which is self-integration and moral integrity. The writer of our epistle to James this morning is describing just that, urging us to be doers of God's will, not just hearers, saying that pure religion, there's that word again, is to care for others, especially those most in need, and to live by God's values and not the values of the culture around us. So there's nothing wrong, and probably a lot right, with pausing before a meal, remembering God's blessing, even doing that in some ritual way that helps you remember. But this passage asks a challenging question. Are our holy habits working? Are the religious things we do, grace before meals, coming to church on Sunday, reading the Bible, are they changing us, changing our hearts? Are they helping us turn our hearts towards God? Are they helping us to will one thing, the goodness and love of God? If so, perfect. That's just what they are supposed to do. But if not, it's worth checking to see if we've gotten into a rut where we're just going through the motions without using these holy habits as a way of giving our hearts to God. Because it's not about clean hands, but a clean heart. A heart that wills one thing, to live in God's goodness and love and grace. Amen.